All right. You know, it's kind of funny story how things went on in the garden when Adam sinned. And God was coming into the garden. He said, Adam, where are you? As if God didn't know where Adam was. Well, what God was doing was trying to get Adam to locate himself. And that's something that when we're ministering to people, we need to try to get people to locate themselves. That means we got to listen. I noticed one of the hardest things for people to do is listen. You know, somebody will start telling them what's going on in their life, telling their problem, telling them, you know, what they're fighting against, and the people out of a good heart will jump in and interrupt them and start telling them all these other things and telling them this and that. When actually a lot of times people will tell you the answer to their problem. But you got to listen, and then you can help bring that out in them. But there's four questions that will help us locate ourselves. Number one, how Christian are you? Number two, how Christian is your God? Number three, how do you see yourself? And number four, how does God see you? Now, these might sound like crazy questions, but these are absolutely life-changing questions if you'll look at them squarely. So to get started on locating ourselves, we need to make a couple of quality decisions. The first one we're going to find in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. So study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. So there's one thing right there. There's nothing that can replace just you by yourself reading the Bible and asking for the Holy Spirit to help you discern it. But you sitting and reading the Bible to yourself will change you. Number one, it'll get the word in you, which will change you. But number two, it'll get the witness of the Spirit inside of you. See, there's a lot of people that are running around living their life based on what they heard their pastor say, or what they think they heard their pastor say, or what a particular denomination's traditions say, or even worse, what they think the Bible should say. There's nothing that can replace getting the word in. Now, if you can listen to anointed preaching tapes, that's a good way to get the word in you. But here's the thing. You need to pay attention to what you're listening to. And here's a challenge for a lot of people. This guy is a popular preacher. Man, he's got thousands of people that follow him in his congregation. I just love what he says. And that guy might not follow the Bible, but he's a popular pastor. And everybody loves him, so he's got to be good. If he's not following the Word of God and feeding you the Word, line upon line and precept upon precept, you're in a dangerous position. there's millions of Christians that are following perilously behind people that are not necessarily telling them the truth. But this verse tells us to rightfully divide the word of truth. So how do we rightfully divide the word of truth? There's some keys. The first one is ask yourself, what side of the cross was this set on? That's important. There's people that are preaching stuff to people and telling them to take that as canon, and they got to follow what that happened before the cross. The cross changed absolutely everything. There was nothing the same ever again. The cross made all the difference. The cross changed every single thing. So we always have to ask ourselves. Let's look at John chapter 19, verse 30. We always, always, always have to ask ourselves, what side of the cross was this set on? See, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The old way of doing things was done. There was a whole new deal going on. Now, unfortunately, we have Christians that are running around trying to keep the law as if the cross never happened. Well, they believe they're saved by grace, but we got to keep the law. You're not rightfully dividing the word of truth if that's what you're truly believing. The second part of that is pay attention to who's talking. Pay attention to who's talking and who are they talking to. See, sometimes the Word of God is being addressed to Hebrew people that are under the law. Sometimes the Word of God was being addressed to Christians. And sometimes the Word of God was being addressed to someone like a Gnostic or people that didn't have nothing. Now you can't take what is being addressed to a Hebrew and use that on a Christian. And in the same note, a Hebrew will get awful confused if you start talking to him about Christian things. Unless you start talking to him about how to get saved. Now, one really easy way to see how Christians have been hoodwinked on a lot of this stuff is in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's the thing. People have taken that verse and used it on Christians and tell them they need to go ask God to forgive them every time they make a mistake. And a good-hearted Christian that is trying as hard as he can will be on his knees every time he turns around. He'll make a mistake, and then pretty soon he'll make a mistake over here. So he's on his knees asking God to forgive him, trying as hard as he can to do what the Bible says. But did you know that John was talking to Gnostics in that verse? He's telling them, he said, look, you need to ask God to forgive you. For Christians, they've already been forgiven. 1 John 1:7 tells us that if you walk in the light as we are in the light, then the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Now, you see why it's important to rightfully divide the word of truth and not just take something and make a whole doctrine out of it. There's people that have such a sin conscience that are running around, even Word of Faith people, running around with such a sin conscience that they can't hardly get anything done. When God doesn't want that, He wants them to have a righteousness conscience. He wants them to know that they're in right standing with Him because of the blood of Jesus. And the shed blood of Jesus continually keeps them that way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Now, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So we're going to have to walk by faith. We're going to have to agree with the Word, even when we can't seem to figure it out in our own mind. How many of you have run into a scripture that you can't get figured out upstairs? But we know it's true. It's right there in the Bible. It's right there in front of us. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that it's been done away with. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that we can't operate in it eventually. Just because we don't understand it, here's the important part. There's a lot of people that have run into scriptures that they didn't understand. They'd say, well, that's not for me. They've hardened their heart towards the part of the Word of God. And then they run into something else that they don't agree with. And they say, no. They harden their heart. There's a lot of people, good people, that love Jesus, that are running around, that have hardened their heart towards the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're not going to have it. See why it's so important to keep your heart open towards the Word of God? And if you don't understand, let the Holy Spirit minister to you and let Him bring a revelation of that Word to you. And when you need it, you'll have it. Now, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. You look at James chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to bounce scriptures off of scriptures and see what happens here. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, go over to John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, when you contrast those two sets of verses, and you will start to see the difference between people that rightfully divide the word of truth, that know God, and people who know their God. People that know about God, and people who know God. There's a lot of people running around that know about God, but they don't know Him. Some of them have accepted Him as Savior, but they don't know Him through His Word. I like, Smith Wigglesworth, he was a curious guy to me. I like to read about him and the stuff that he did. And, this guy operated in a lot of miracles, and he prophesied a lot. He did a lot of amazing things. To me, I thought this guy was just something else. And he said that he only knew God through the Word. See, a lot of people know about God, and there's others that know God. The ones that get in their Bible and wear that thing out will know God. And they'll know Him through the Word. Now let's get started with this question. The first one is, how Christian are you? Well, I'm born again. So, well, that's good. That's a good start. I go to church every Sunday. I go to church every time the door swings open. I do this, I do that. That's not what I'm talking about. To get started, draw a picture of the cross. And remember, the cross changed everything. Look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Now that's Old Testament. That's somebody that has not been washed in the blood. There's a lot of people running around that have not been washed in the blood. And a lot of these people do really good things. A lot of these people are admired in the communities. They donate millions of dollars to good causes. Did you know that all that will burn up before it gets to the pit of hell with that man if he's not washed in the blood of Jesus? Our good works will do nothing for us. Only the blood of Jesus. Now let's contrast that with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, Isaiah, in the Old Testament, he knew that his righteousness was his filthy rags. And this guy was a major league prophet. This guy, he might say he was born to be a prophet, because the minute he was weaned, he went right into training. And he knew where he stood. Now, unfortunately, we have a lot of Christians that are running around acting like they have the same standing. And you hear them. These are some of the things they say. Well, we're just lowly servants. We're all just sinners saved by grace. So that's people that have not rightfully divided the word of truth. They don't know who they are. They're running around lost. They're born again. They're running around lost. They need to locate themselves and find out why it is they believe what they believe. See, sometimes we've got to ask ourselves, why do we believe what we believe? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He did it. Not our good works. It was just, you know, we raised our hand and said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. In that very millisecond, you got clothed with the robe of righteousness. There was not one good work that caused you to have that clothing. Now here's the good news. When you go out there and you make a mistake, that does not mean that you just lost your righteousness. Not at all. You're still in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. There's some people running around saying that you can lose your righteousness. Well, if you could lose your righteousness, then evidently you had the ability to earn your righteousness. But since you couldn't earn your righteousness, you're not going to lose your righteousness because of a mistake you made. Because if you lost your righteousness, if it means literally if you lost your right standing with God because you made a mistake, then that'd be as if the shed blood of Jesus had no effect. And we know that's not true. Now, I have heard of some accounts where people literally, actually, they lost their mind, but these were Christians that had operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then they knew the Bible inside and out. And they actually got up in front of public and renounced Christ and renounced the blood of Jesus. It's over for them. I guess they sold their soul. But that's the only way you would lose your righteousness. I don't know anybody that wants to renounce Christ or renounce the blood of Jesus. Do you? I don't know anybody in those shoes. So let's look at another couple of scriptures. We talked about them, 1 John 1:9 and 1 John 1:7. Now, if a guy runs around with a sin conscience, and this is how a sin conscience is made, is by taking 1 John 1:9 and using it on Christians. You know, telling them, when you make a mistake, you better get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Did you know that when you got born again, all of your sins were forgiven? Past, present, and future. Now, some people just get crazy in their thinking when I tell them their future sins had been forgiven. And they say, how can that be? Well, unless you were standing at the cross when Jesus got on there, every sin you ever got committed was a future sin. Did you know that? That's when your sins were forgiven, when he died on that cross. You weren't even born again. You weren't even born yet. So every sin you ever committed was a future sin. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, when Scripture doesn't get taught, people will walk away in confusion. And sometimes Scripture can even be twisted to a point where it causes Christians to be in some kind of bondage. Now, here's the thing. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. So fear is actually reverence. Reverence. We're supposed to run to God as our loving Heavenly Father. Now, how does that equate with a father you're supposed to be afraid of? But there's a lot of people running around that are afraid of God because he's been taught wrong, been presented wrong to them. We have a loving Heavenly Father, and he does not want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to reverence him. That's important. And the trembling is literally obedience to sanctification. That verse, if it gets twisted and taught wrong, people would walk around in fear. I've seen people actually shake when they pray. Not because the Holy Spirit was getting a hold of them, because they were afraid. They were afraid. I've seen people actually that were afraid, and they would start shaking when they prayed. They weren't really sure who they were. They weren't really sure about their standing with God. See, this is why it's so important to get the Word in you. Now, let's look over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So that will knock a little bit of that working your own salvation out. Because there's people that actually think they have to work their way to heaven. That's not what they were getting at there. You're saved. The minute you get born again, you're saved. Now, most of the Protestants will jump up and say, "Hallelujah, I told you so." But here's something you need to understand. Most of the Protestants got that word salvation reduced to born again. That word salvation takes us something like 28 English words to describe that. When God would give a Hebrew a word like salvation, see, the Hebrew language was a picture language. He could give them this word salvation, and they got this great big picture of everything that is tied to this word. And then we think we can get it in one translation. Salvation means so much more than just being born again. If salvation would be taught, if salvation would be preached, people would not have such a hard time with healing. They would not have such a hard time with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would not have a hard time with a lot of the things that God wants them to enjoy. But because of doctrine and lack of teaching and lack of discernment, they're missing out on a lot. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." What part of that verse right there would leave you with the idea that we have a God that we're supposed to be afraid of, that we're supposed to approach Him in fear and trembling? It says we're supposed to come boldly to Him. Unfortunately, a lot of people have this idea when they make a mistake. A lot of them don't even want to hear about God. A lot of them don't want to even go anywhere near Him because they're afraid. And then if they do approach Him, they're afraid of Him. Then that's not the way we're supposed to be. When we make a mistake, we're supposed to run to Him. Did you know He's the only one that can clean us up? He's the only one that can fix what's wrong. Well, we have a lot of people that are trying to fix what's wrong so that they can go into the presence of God. See how that's Old Testament teaching there. They had to have everything in order. They had to have everything perfect to go into the presence of God. And if they didn't, they were toast. And that guy, he could only go in there once a year. But now, because of Jesus, He prepared the way. Now we can go into His presence all the time. But He doesn't want us to go in there as fearful servants. He wants us to go in there as loving sons. That know we've been forgiven, that we've been washed by the blood, that we're okay. Even though we made a mistake, we're going to Him so He can fix it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see what He did? He washed you, He sanctified you, He made you holy, He made you righteous, He justified you, all by His shed blood. Now, the Bible does talk about washing of the water of the Word. See, it's the Word that gets us clean, and the blood of Jesus gets us clean, and that Word over us. I noticed when you get in the Word, a lot of stuff leaves you. You know, sometimes, you know, we come out of the world, we got stuff attached to us. We got ideas, you know, we got things that we've always thought was right. And all of a sudden, we find in the Word where that's not necessarily right. So we repent, which means we change our mind and we start doing it a different way. What happened? You just got washed by the water of the Word. We'll finish with this one last scripture. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood, but the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. See, that's how you got sanctified. It's all through Him. You got holy through Him. You got righteous through Him. Everything is through Him. And you notice, you didn't work it out. You didn't earn it. It happened because of Him. So how do you work out your salvation? You take what He gave you, you revel in it, you feed on it, and then you go out and you do the things that He asked you to do. That's how you're working out your salvation. You go out there and you pray for people, you minister to people, you witness to people. you're working out your salvation. You're not doing that to earn anything. You're doing that because you've already received it. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. You protect us, you feed us, you guide us, you watch over us, you teach us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right.